Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. 1 John 2, verse 15. In today's episode of Doctrine for Life, Dr. Joel Beakey reminds us of the dangers of the lusts of the eyes. In the first part of his sermon on Lot and Abraham from Genesis 13. Enjoy more resources from Dr. Beakey at joelbeakey.org.
We will now read Genesis chapter 13, and I also want to read three verses from Hebrews 11. Genesis 13. And Abram went up out of Egypt, he and his wife and all that he had, and Lot with him, into the south. And Abram was very rich in cattle, in silver, and in gold. And he went on his journeys from the south, even to Bethel, unto the place where his tent had been at the beginning, between Bethel and Hai, unto the place of the altar, which he had made there at the first. And there Abram called on the name of the Lord. And Lot also, which went with Abram, had flocks and herds and tents. And the land was not able to bear them, that they might dwell together, for their substance was great, so that they could not dwell together. And there was a strife between the herdmen of Abram's cattle and the herdmen of Lot's cattle. And the Canaanite and the Perizzite dwelled then in the land. And Abram said unto Lot, Let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between my herdmen and thy herdmen, for we be brethren. Is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. If thou wilt take the left hand, then I will go to the right. Or if thou depart to the right hand, then I will go to the left. And Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zoar. Then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves, the one from the other. Abram dwelled in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelled in the cities of the plain, and pitched his tent toward Sodom. But the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. And the Lord said unto Abram, after that Lot was separated from him, Lift up now thine eyes, and look from the place where thou art, northward and southward and eastward and westward, for all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever. And I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth, so that if a man can number the dust of the earth, then shall thy seed also be numbered. Arise, walk through the land in the length of it and in the breadth of it, for I will give it unto thee. Then Abram removed his tent and came and dwelt in the plain of Mamre, which is in Hebron, and built there an altar unto the Lord. And then Hebrews 11, verses 8 through 10. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Thus far the reading of God's holy word. Dear congregation, this morning we have witnessed a very special and memorable moment. Some from far, some from near. Some estranged from our tradition in times past. Others growing up in our church have united to give the same answer to the question of faith. You, dear class, have said that your only hope for this life and for a better lies outside of yourself. And it is with mixed emotions that we speak to you the last time as a class this morning. Because as happy as we are to see you make confession of faith, to profess your faith, we remain concerned, of course, about how that confession of faith will play out in your lives. Just like parents who give their children in marriage and are happy to do so, but are yet concerned about how that marriage will function. Will you be like Lot, who made a weak confession of faith? Or will you be like Abraham, who made a strong confession of faith? That's the question I want to lay in your conscience this morning, and in everyone who's ever made confession of faith gathered with us. The words of our text you can find in Genesis 13, 11a and verse 18, though we'll be looking at much of the chapter. This will be a focal point. 11a, then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east. And verse 18, then Abraham removed his tent and came and dwelt in the plain of Mamre, which is in Hebron, and built there an altar unto the Lord. Our theme this morning, then, with God's help, is weak and strong confession of faith. First, we'll look at Lot's weak confession, and second, at Abram's strong confession. Lot's weak confession, Abram's strong confession. Abram and Lot had much in common. They were from the same race, spoke the same language, shared the same culture, belonged to the same family, were involved in the same occupations, shepherds, traveled together to Canaan, and in traveling confessed faith in the God of promise. They shared past experiences of God's leading and blessing. They both separated themselves from the idolatry of their past. They both left behind their friends, their former lives. Neither was an Orpah who turned back. They both made a decision to cast their lot in with those who lived under the promises of God. They both followed the command of the covenant-keeping God in Genesis 12, verse 1, get thee out of thy country unto a land that I will show thee. Verse 5 says of the last chapter, and they went forth to go into the land of Canaan. Into the land of Canaan they came. They both arrived there, and God blessed both of them abundantly. Not just Abraham, also Lot had herds and flocks and many possessions. They were blessed outwardly. They were blessed in being separated from the Canaanites. They had much in common. And dear class, this morning, you have much in common, even if you come from different cultures. You've heard the same lessons. You've sat under the same word. You've been taught God's word at home, at church, and other places, perhaps at school. God has given you the privilege of attending this church, of attending some of you catechism classes and all of you attending confession of faith class. You're not joining a perfect church. We know that. You're not joining anything perfect. The teaching wasn't perfect. Nothing you heard was perfect. But Jesus Christ is perfect. And he's the one we seek to emulate with all our faults and stumblings and weaknesses and expressing it. You do attend a church. You did make confession of faith this morning in a church that has one grand goal. By the Spirit's grace, we are called to disciple one another, disciple believers, and evangelize unbelievers to God's glory. That becomes your goal now. You enter into the mission statement of this church and the ministries of this church. So you have much in common. And yet, Abram and Lot not only had much in common, they had much in contrast. They were very different from each other. And I want to set before you this morning four major differences between Abram and Lot. The first is this. They had, as it were, different heartbeats. Now, maybe you raised your eyebrows a moment ago when I said that Lot was also a child of God. Well, if we only had Genesis 13, I wouldn't dare to say that. But we do have 2 Peter 2, verse 7 and 8. And 2 Peter 2, 7 and 8 says that Lot was a believer. And despite all his failings, Peter calls him a righteous man who vexed his righteous soul in ungodly Sodom. So this righteous man, Lot, lived among sinners day by day, tormented in his righteous soul. Now, it would be so much easier, to preach from Genesis 13 if Lot was an unbeliever. We can make it all black and white then, you know. We could say, well, Abram was a believer, this is the way he walked. Lot was an unbeliever, this is the way he walked. Life is simple, life is black and white. You know, there are people like that. Everything's black and white. There's no shades of gray to anything. It's either right or wrong, everything's clear. That's the way children are, of course, 10, 11-year-old children. But usually people, when they get to be adults, they grow out of that. They realize life is more complex than that. But some people try to stick to that. And so everything is black and white. Well, here's another example. Everything isn't black and white. Also not pastorally in the church. There are people that you don't know what their state is because they profess grace on the one hand, but on the other hand, their walk is so halting, so faltering like Lot's, you don't know what to make of it. Life is more complex than we would like to think. But you see, one thing we know, Peter makes plain, that's the word of God, that Lot was accepted by God, his sins are forgiven. Peter calls him a righteous man, of course, in the Lord Jesus Christ. He's born again. And yet, he's not like Abraham, is he?
Would you like to deepen your understanding of Reformed theology? Check out Reformed Systematic Theology, Volume 4, Church and Last Things by Dr. Joel Beakey and Paul Smalley. This book will lead you to explore key scripture topics from biblical, doctrinal, experiential, and practical perspectives. Order the culmination of Dr. Beakey's life's work at heritagebooks.org/RST4.
Think about what we're told about Lot so far. Genesis 12, verse 4. We read, Lot went with Abram. Verse 5, Abram took Lot. Chapter 13, verse 1, and again in verse 5, Lot went with Abram. See, you get the picture. Lot is never taking the initiative. Abram is always taking initiative. He's always leading Lot. Lot is tagging along behind. Lot is not zealous for the cause of God. There's something that seems secondhand about Lot's experience. He has true faith, but it's woefully weak faith. Faith that needs support. Faith that seems to change color too frequently, too easily. Like a chameleon. You know, some people speak of chameleon Christianity. A chameleon, you know, boys and girls, fits into its background. It adopts the color of its surroundings. That was the kind of believer Lot seemed to be. When he was with other believers, he was no doubt quite fine. But when he was with, taken away from those believers, when he was in his own environment, he was prone to wander from God. I wonder about you this morning. Is your faith like that? Do you have a chameleon faith, an environmental faith, if you will? You believe according to your environment. If your friends are Christian and you're brought up in Christian surroundings and you have positive peer pressure, you pretty much look and act like a Christian. Perhaps you even do have true faith in Christ. But what would you be like if all props were taken away from around you? If God placed you in a foreign city, would you still be seeking God? You see, this is Lot's problem. He had a different heartbeat than Abram. His heart was not committed in the way that Abram's heart was. Dear Confession of Faith class, this is my first danger sign from our text to warn you about this morning. Don't be like Lot. Don't be satisfied with just barely being a child of God. Don't be satisfied with a heart that beats a little bit for God and a lot for the world. But secondly, Abram and Lot had different hands. Abram's hands were open. Lot's were tightly closed. Abram was a generous man. Lot, a greedy, grasping man. You remember the story, of course. They are prospering. Their sheep and cattle are multiplying. There isn't enough pasture for all their flocks. And the herdsmen begin to bicker with each other, quarrel, have arguments. This is my land. No, this is our well. No, that's your well. This is my well. They're arguing. They're bickering. And Abraham, being the older man, being the leader, has the right to choose, of course, which land belongs to him. After all, Lot came with him. But Abram is very generous. He has an open hand. He says, Lot, you choose where you want to go. If you go this way, I'll go that way. Abram isn't defensive. He's not self-protective. He's not worried about losing out. He's relaxed. He's ready to concede. He's not trying to nudge Lot toward the bad ground so we can have the good ground. Abram's a man of peace. He's a man who has a relaxation about him in his own skin because he's at peace with God. He knows that God will take care of him in every way. Wherever he goes, God will be with him. His hands are open. Lot cuts a poor figure in comparison. This young man is very wealthy because of Abram. He owes everything to Abram. Out of a grateful heart for all that his uncle has done for him, he should have said, Abram, you're my leader. I owe everything to you. And you're my senior. You choose. But Lot doesn't say that. Lot is only concerned about himself, Abram's feelings, Abram's location. Abram's future doesn't concern him. The fact that he'll be leaving Abram's prayers, that he'll be leaving Abram's altar of worship, doesn't bother him. Lot is only concerned to have the best for himself. He's more concerned to get than to give. And this is the second danger sign I lay before you, dear Confession of Faith class and dear congregation this morning. Oh, what a danger. And we name the name of Christ, and yet we want to get rather than to give. And we're not like God, are we? We're not like Christ. Christianity is a religion of giving, isn't it? The God of Christianity is a giving God, isn't he? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. I hope you didn't make profession this morning just to be getters and graspers, but to help you be givers. You see, Lot is a greedy man. He always wants more. He's selfish. He doesn't merely possess, but he's possessed by his possessions. Don't ever be that way. Don't live for this world. Don't live for the possessions of this world. That's the antithesis of Christianity. What about you, congregation? Are you a giver? Or are you a getter? One writer put it this way. He said, as Christians, we have nothing to prove and nothing to lose. See, we should be like Abraham, strong in faith. Be at peace with God. We don't need to grasp. We don't need to grab. We don't need to gather. We don't need to be envious or jealous if we have the Lord as our God. We just need to rest in him and convey his promises and gospelize his truth wherever we go. What a difference between Abram and Lot. Thirdly, they have not only different hearts and different hands, they have different eyes. They see differently. Lot and Abram came to a crossroad in their lives. How will they proceed? Well, verse 9, it appears that Abram takes Lot to a hilltop and he says, "Is not the whole land before thee?" And then notice that Scripture says in this chapter, the same words about Lot and about Abram. They both lifted up their eyes and looked. But they saw different things, and they looked different ways. They overlooked a great part of the promised land. There they are, picture them now, standing on the mountain, a rather large hill, looking over the promised land. They both see the same things, and yet they don't. Lot lifted up his eyes, verse 10, and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere, even as the garden of the Lord, even as paradise. That's what Lot was looking for. He was looking for the old paradise renewed. He wanted paradise on earth. He was looking with natural eyes. So he looked around. He said, now, where can I prosper the best? Where is there the most water? Where can I grow my crops well? Where will life be easiest and most pleasurable? Where can I become the richest the soonest? Lot wants a paradise on earth with a fallen heart to indulge in the lust of the eye, the pride of life, and the lust of the flesh. The fact that he had to travel over the Jordan of Canaan to get that and be surrounded by people whom Scripture calls in this chapter wicked exceedingly, who lived ungodly lifestyles, he pushes to the background. Himself, his own pleasures, crowd out these concerns. Boys and girls, if you draw a picture of Lot this morning, and you draw his face, and you draw his eyes, you'd have to put dollar signs in his eyes. That's what he's after. He's after money. He's after riches. Yes, he's after profit. He lives for this world. Abram sees other things. Abram, first of all, sees that they're brothers. They shouldn't be fighting. Abram sees that the Canaanite is then in the land, and they shouldn't demean the Lord's reputation before the heathen by quarreling. So he says, Lot, we're brothers. We need to separate. We can't do this in front of the heathen. Abram's concerned, you see, about God's reputation. And Abram sees the promises of God, the generosity of God, the kindness of God, the graciousness of God. One lives for the here and now. The other lives by promise. So this is the third danger sign for you making confession of faith this morning. Don't live for the here and now. Don't live for the here and now. Don't put your emphasis there. You see, friends, when we seldom look up to heaven and the eternal, but instead our eyes become focused and keen for profit and advantage and pleasures of this world, we're heading in a wrong direction. You're at a crossroad right now, especially those of you who are young. You could easily go the wrong way. I'll tell you what someone wrote, which I thought was quite profound. He said this: believers who are idealists in their 20s and materialists in their 40s will become idolaters by their 60s. You see, if you get in the habit of living for this world will suck you in. Live rather like the Lord Jesus, who said, "For the joy that was set before me, I endured the cross." Jesus saw a heavenly future. Abraham too, you see. Now, that's a hard life to live because people around you aren't living that way. Unbelievers aren't living that way. Some other people in the church you'll meet won't be living that way. Sad to say, but no church is perfect. But don't do like Lot. Don't say, "I see what is most pleasing to the eye, and so I journey east and leave behind the altar of God and the prayers of Abraham and all the good things." Don't go your own way. Go the Lord's way. Worship Him. You see, Lot's problem was he chose by himself and he chose for himself. And we don't read once that he set up one altar. We don't read once that he called upon the name of the Lord. Don't live that way. Whatever you do, call upon the name of the Lord. Seek guidance in the Word of God. Don't choose by yourself and for yourself, but ask, "Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?"
Thank you for listening to Doctrine for Life with Dr. Joel Beakey. If you were encouraged by this episode and would like to hear more, please consider subscribing and sharing with a friend. To enjoy more resources from the pen and pulpit of Dr. Beakey, please visit joelbeakey.org.